That's what the clock says back there, but I'll just have to ignore that. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. This is kind of a continuation or a kind of a follow-up to the message last week. Last Sunday, I talked to you about what the Bible says about ignorance. There's several places that Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He says that in relation to those that are asleep in Christ. He says that in relation to spiritual gifts. And yet last week we tried to point out the importance of understanding and knowledge. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Last week we talked about ignorance, and today I want us to look at some scripture and see what the Bible has to say about knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people that they think it's almost spiritual to be ignorant. I remember a Bible conference we had here years ago, and Brother Moore was the keynote speaker, and he had gone through a lot of things about rightly dividing. We were a Baptist church at the time, and there were some men that got up and said, I don't believe in preaching doctrine. I just believe in preaching Jesus, and all this doctrine stuff is for theologians and that kind of thing. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's will has to do with God's desire. God desires that all men be saved. All men are not going to be saved. God has not willed that all men be saved. But He will have all, His desire is that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. He goes on to say, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So what is knowledge? Well, the Bible talks about knowledge, it talks about wisdom, and it talks about understanding. As a matter of fact, the first verse in your Bible that all three words are used is in Exodus chapter 31. Look back there in Exodus 31. In Exodus 31. The brief definition of knowledge is the accumulation of facts. And I don't have any qualms with that. I've always looked at it this way, and maybe you would have a different take on this. But I see knowledge as the accumulation of facts and wisdom having to do with the application of that knowledge, having wisdom, knowing how to apply that knowledge. I think wisdom has to do with how we would be able to take that which we know and share it with others so that they might have an understanding of the Word of God, of truth, and so forth. In Exodus chapter 31, Exodus 31, in verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And I think that's significant because the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge is what prepares the individual to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the passage here, he's filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to divine cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to wood, in all manner of workmanship. So the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom is really of little value if we don't make an application of it in our life. The Bible puts great emphasis upon knowledge. Now, we're going to look at a verse in 1 Corinthians 8 where it says, knowledge puffeth up. And it does, apart from understanding wisdom. There are those that believe that just simply the accumulation of knowledge of Bible facts is the answer to all things. But if we accumulate all the Bible knowledge that we can, and we're not able to make an application of it in our life, then we come up short. And we are not the workmen that we should be for Christ's sake. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, don't turn there, I'll just read it to you. He says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. I like that. He says, the Lord is a God of knowledge. God has always provided the information that people needed in order to be acceptable to Him. In most instances, the people have rejected that knowledge. And that's why there is so much emphasis in the Bible upon knowledge, because we cannot serve the Lord, we cannot operate our life and be pleasing to God apart from knowledge and understanding. And wisdom is what causes us to be able to make that application. Look, if you will, over in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Vince was talking this morning about integrity, and he used the book of Proverbs quite a bit. And there's not many subjects that you can look at and you can't find something about them in the book of Proverbs when it comes to the life that people should live. And there's much in Proverbs about wisdom and knowledge. Just like he was talking about the integrity in different areas of life. Well, we need to know what the Bible says about those things. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. Well, let's get into verse 2. I'll find it in a minute. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord, now notice, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord has to do with a reverence of God. And it also would have to do with a reverence of God's Word, because God and His Word are inseparable. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They are inseparable. God is a God of knowledge, of wisdom, and instruction, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge, the reverence for God and His Word. Look over in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So, there's great emphasis upon knowledge. Look over in Proverbs 15. In Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You know, some people, you don't have to listen to them very long before you find out their level of knowledge and understanding. And that's particularly true, and I don't say that in a mean way, but when you listen to people preach and teach the Word of God or preach from the Bible, you find out that many people do not have real understanding, real knowledge. They might have a lot of, think about this. A person could memorize, I think Jack Van Impe always claimed that he'd memorized the whole Bible. And maybe he had. But think about it. You could memorize the entire Bible, but if you never made an application in a right way, that would be of no value. For example, if you tried to go back to the Old Testament and apply the law principles to your life, you're going to end up in a mess. If you went to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and tried to make an application of all those kingdom principles in your life, then you're going to end up confused. For example, and I use this frequently, but in Matthew 6, when Christ is teaching them to pray, and he says, pray thy Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he gets down to the end and he says, for if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Today, Colossians 2:13, Paul says, he has forgiven us all trespasses. You see, under that kingdom doctrine, a person was to forgive people in order to receive forgiveness. In the dispensation of the grace of God, we are to forgive people because we're already forgiven, not to obtain forgiveness. So there's a difference. That's why we're told to rightly divide the word of truth. That kingdom doctrine is simply that. And I believe when the church comes to a fulfillment, being filled up, that the church is going to be taken away. And I know from what the Scripture says that that kingdom doctrine is going to once again be taught. How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ told the 12, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. The fulfillment of the Great Commission will take place. But you see, if you confuse those doctrines, the kingdom doctrine with church doctrine, then you're going to end up in confusion. You need knowledge. You need understanding. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see, Israel had great knowledge. They had great understanding. Paul talked about the things that he knew as a Pharisee, as touching the law. He was blameless and so forth. And I would suspect, you know, I read that verse many times over the years. I don't think Paul was saying that he kept every law. He said, as touching the law, blameless. I believe it had to do with his knowledge of the law, but I may be off on that. But regardless of that, there was great emphasis. We read last week over there in the Old Testament about how they were to take that law and nail it over the doorpost and wear it on their forehead and on it goes. It was important to them that they know that law. Why? Because the consequences of not following it many times were severe. And that's why the Bible says there were sacrifices provided for those that sinned through ignorance. Today, God has made it so simple that there really is no excuse. He made it simple in that the gospel, he says in Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 that gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's not complicated, folks. It is simple. And when we come to understand that, we have knowledge of how a person is saved, then we have the opportunity to go out and tell other people. And you know, the thing is that if a person is taught false doctrine about how to be saved, what are they going to do? If they're going to teach, they're going to teach the same thing they've been taught. I did that for years. I told people to invite Jesus into their heart, to walk the aisle, confess their sins, all of these things that I had been taught. Why? Because that's the knowledge that I had accumulated. You see, there's good knowledge, and then there's knowledge that's bad, because people don't rightly divide the word of truth. So we need to know the truth. Our knowledge needs to be that of the truth. Now, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, this is a verse that people always go to whenever you start talking about the importance of knowledge. And by the way, the whole context has to do with the eating of meats and that kind of thing. Paul is not talking about not the knowledge of the truth. He says there in verse 8, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge of things offered to idols. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." And if you go on and read the whole chapter there, he says down in verse 7, "Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." That's the whole context of the chapter. Verse 10, "For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" So that's not talking about knowledge in general. It's not talking about the knowledge of the truth. He said it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But knowledge can puff up when it's not correctly applied, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, go over, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to give you about three or four reasons. And I'll try to let you go a little early today because I know y'all are starving to death. See, your stomach doesn't know about daylight savings time. And it's telling you it's time to eat, even though the clock says, you know, it's not. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Just on a side note, I wish they'd just leave the time one way or the other. I don't care whether it's one way or the other way. I'm like the old fellow said in the springtime. He said he really was glad when they had an extra hour of daylight because it helped his tomatoes grow. Well, that's kind of the way I am about the time change. It don't really matter to me which way it is, but I wish they'd just leave it alone one way or the other. I don't see any need in changing all around. I mean, it's still going to be kids standing out in the dark, catch buses or whatever. Just leave it. I may move to Indiana. They don't have daylight savings time up there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, till we all come, well, look in verse 12. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, talking about those gifts, evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, one of the great importance, one of the greatest things about having knowledge is that it protects us from deception. If we study the Word of God and we know the Word of God, then when we hear something taught, there ought to be that radar there and detect whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And as I said in a Bible study I did on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago, don't ever accept that which is taught as truth simply on the basis of who is teaching it, including me. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There are people who listen to preachers that they highly revere, and the Bible said that we should esteem them very highly for their work's sake. But listen, I don't care how much you love a preacher or a teacher, they are not infallible. And they may teach something that is wrong. That's why every one of us, you see, I believe that's one of the reasons that God has preserved His Word. The Roman Catholic Church did everything that they could to take the Word of God, the Bible, away from the common man. That's what the killing of the martyrs back there in the 2nd, 3rd century was all about. People wanted their Bible. And the Catholic Church said, no, the priests are to interpret the Bible and teach the Bible. And that philosophy, believe it or not, folks, I mean, we kind of sometimes lead sheltered lives. But I had a discussion with a man in Louisiana several years back. And he was refuting some things he had heard on a radio program there by Brother Moore. And he got in touch with me and we had some exchanges. And he finally said, your problem is you're spending too much time studying the Bible. I don't need to study the Bible. I have a priest that tells me what the Bible says. And that's what they're told. I've told you the story many times about Bobby Berger and the church she was in. And she asked the preacher about Mark chapter 16. She said, we take the part over here that says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. And she said, but the next verse says, these signs shall follow them that believe. She said, why don't we follow those verses as well? And she was sincere. She was part of that church at the time, as was her family. And the preacher says, you need to quit studying the Bible and listen to what's taught here. He said, that's where you rightly divide between those verses. And you know what? That led her to see the fallacy of the whole thing, because she understood that she had been here a few times to the church, and she understood that there was a book here that was God's Word and was the authority. Several weeks after that, she and her daughter got saved when they came out of that church, that religious system. You know why? Because they received the knowledge of the truth as opposed to the knowledge of the religious system they'd been a part of. In Ephesians 4, in verse 13, he talks about the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Why? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I had a man contact me not long ago. He said, I was in the Catholic Church for some time, and he said, I saw the fallacy of that, and I came out and ended up being a charismatic. And he said, after being in that for about a year or two, I saw the fallacy of that, and so I started attending a fundamental Baptist church. He said, but then that church was teaching me that there was a Bible that was the Word of God, and I began to study the Bible, and I began to see that there were some differences in what Christ taught and what Paul taught. And he said, for the last 3 or 4 years, I have been rightly dividing the Word of truth. And he said, finally, I understand. Finally, I understand. Well, that's not anything I've done. It's not anything. He was reading the book. The words on the page. You see, the reason we need truth is that we might... The reason we need to come to the knowledge of the truth is that we would not be deceived. And as a matter of fact, it's through the Word of God that we grow. Look in verse 15. He said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, right here in this book, this letter to the church at Ephesus, there's a lot of instruction in there about the marriage relationship. I was thinking about that this morning as I was thinking about this message. Well, you know what? That's some wonderful information. There's the Word of God is filled up with great information. But if you read and study what God says about marriage and have a thorough understanding of it and don't apply it to your marriage, what good is it? No value to you. No value to me. And you know what hinders us from doing that most of the time is we walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. You see, walking in the Spirit is walking according to the Word of God. It's not some supernatural thing where we receive the Spirit of God and then we're supernaturally empowered to overcome sin and so forth. We overcome sin by making a conscious choice to be obedient to the Word of God. We have the knowledge of it. We have the understanding of it. And the wisdom of it is to apply it to our life. It's a means of growth. And there are many people who get saved. They might trust Christ as their Savior. And they stop. And they never progress from there. Because there's no study. There's no fellowship. There's no knowledge of the truth in relation to the matters that God addresses in His Word for you and I. So it's our protection from deception. It's our means of growth. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I could not feed you with meat, but with milk, because you're yet carnal. Well, the meat of the Word has to do with this knowledge of the Son of God and coming unto that perfect man, and that we might not be tossed to and fro, but we might grow, we might speak the truth in love, and may grow up into Him in all things. Then notice over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The knowledge of the Word of God is our protection from apostasy. The word apostasy simply means a falling away from the truth. Paul predicted that. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then he goes on to say, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou should be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice, nourished up. You see the wording there? Nourishment has to do with that's what's taken in. Nourished up, how? In the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now look over in verse 14. Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now every time you see the word save, it's not talking about soul salvation. There's a lot of places where he talks about being saved from different things. In the context, we know that Timothy was already saved based on numerous other scriptures. But he says, take heed unto thyself and what? To the doctrine, and continue in this, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself from what? From the falling away, from the coming apostasy. In the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. How do you protect yourself from departing from the faith? By remaining in the faith and staying true to the Word of God. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, the body of truth. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, there are saved people that have not followed the instruction there that Paul wrote to Timothy, and they've gone back into some kind of religious system. They've departed from the faith, the body of truth for us today. Somebody's put them back under the law, and they're in bondage to a system or to the law that someone's put them under, and they've fallen away. I mean, after all, if you're going to depart from the faith, you would have to be in the faith. So it's possible for saved people to depart from the faith, that is, no longer be obedient to the Word of God given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. It's deliverance from that apostasy. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to what? The acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the knowledge of the truth, not only is our protection from deception, not only is it our means of growth, but it's our deliverance from apostasy. And last of all, it equips us to walk worthy of our vocation. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, talking about their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says over in chapter 2, verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And then over in chapter 3, verse 16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, folks, God has equipped us. One last verse. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the first verse of chapter 3, the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then he lists several things about those last days. But notice the remedy. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, folks, so many times people put all the emphasis upon learning the Word of God, learning the Word of God, and that's very important. But when we learn the Word of God and we understand the Word of God, then we need to apply the Word of God. That's the wisdom. Whether it be in our business relationships, our home relationships, wherever it is, God has instructed us. He has told us, number one, how to be saved. And He has given us the information that we can grow into the knowledge of the truth and be able to take that knowledge and share it with other people. Why? Because there's people out there that need to be saved, and there's saved people that need to be freed from the bondage of religion and the grip that it has upon them in causing them to be captive to a system that robs them of their joy. Paul said that he wants to be helpers, that he wanted to be a helper. We ought to be helpers of others' joy. Give them information that they might be able to understand who we are, where we are in Christ, and what we should do as a result of that. Would you stand me for prayer?